This is Believe in Buckeyes, and I'm Brian Browning.
And I'm Chimney Chekwa, and we're going to be talking everything Buckeye football.
And people are going to want to know, why are we qualified? So, Chim, give them an intro. Let them know who you are.
So, Chimney Chekwa, man, I played Ohio State football from 2006 to 2010, graduating in 2010. Was an All-American cornerback at my position.
Yeah.
Won a lot of football games, yeah. Right? Even though that senior year got pretty much vacated.
Man, no, man. People know what happened on the field that year.
Right.
That's just Google search, bro.
Drafted by the Oakland Raiders, played 6 years in the NFL. And my co-host here, Brian Browning.
Yeah, so from Ohio State from 2006 to 2010 as well. Me and Chim, we happened to be roommates at that time. So we always got to shout out to 396. That's inside
396.
Joke. Right. Also, 3-year starter at Ohio State, all Big Ten player. Did go to the NFL, free agent, bounced around for about 4 years. But we're here in Columbus now. We're still friends. It's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a while, man. We've been knowing each other for a while now.
A long time.
We was kids when we met. Now we have kids.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm still a kid.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, yeah, but that's another topic
for another day. But so we want to preview, or really, let's recap this last game.
Yeah, we got to recap. So Ohio State was able to squeak out the win versus Maryland. We won that game 43-30.
Double digit win.
I think we all agree. It did not feel like a double digit win, but we survived. So what Coach Meyer used to say, the best thing about being 11-0 is the chance to get
be 12-0.
Yeah, right. So there we still go. Got that chance. So, and obviously we wanted to discuss this game, get into it with you guys, let you know our thoughts. First time I'm gonna throw it to you. Overall, how did you feel? We looked, played.
I was expecting the blowout. I'm gonna keep it real. I was expecting the blowout, and really, my whole focus for the game is looking for issues with Ohio State's team, so that I could see, okay, how would Michigan be able to exploit this? What do we need to solve for? What do we need to improve? And unfortunately, I found a lot more issues than I was really anticipating. Right. And at this point, at this point in the season, this is who you are. Right. This is who you are. So I would say, and I'm going to be honest, that game is over with. It's going to be a different level of focus for the Michigan game. It's going to be a different level of intensity during practice, a different level of, not going out. You know what I'm saying? Not texting that girl at 1 a.m., just going ahead and staying asleep that week. But for this specific game, for that game, I thought, even though they started off with the scoring a touchdown initially, and it felt like they were about to go on a run, I thought they started off the game relatively not focused, yeah, and not being able to execute in a way that you would expect a team like this at this point in the season to actually be able to execute.
Yeah. And I was texting one of our former teammates during the game, and he said something and it clicked and it made a lot of sense. When you looked at our offense, when you looked at our defense.
Name dropper.
Lawrence Wilson.
Boogie.
Good boogie. Yeah. Good defensive lineman for Ohio State. Had some injuries that kind of hindered his career, but I know going against him in practice, he was one of the top guys that I had ever had to go.
He was a really good player. For sure.
But he just said it made a lot of sense. It was simple, but it was clear. Where's the fire?
Yeah.
Where's the fire from the defense? Where's the fire from our offense? And a lot of, especially, I guess, for the most early part of that Maryland game, like, you just didn't see it. You didn't feel it.
Yeah. But is it the fire for a Maryland game when you got to play against, you got the game the next week.
Right.
And the game, all right, I'm going to keep it real. We played in a lot of Michigan games.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We won them all. Yeah.
However, when Michigan is ranked, the game is different when Michigan's number 3 in the nation than when it's always a big game when you're going against a top-ranked team. It's a different level of game when you're going against a Michigan team, yeah, right? So I guess my main question is, was that fire not there because they were looking ahead, or is it just who they are?
Human nature says most likely it was looking ahead. Obviously, we have watched our Ohio State team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, this click at a high level, multiple times, right? C.J. Stroud, the Heisman hopeful, Coach Day, the way he scheme up an offense and how he just kind of keep attacking for the majority of the game, it's looked like. most of the time you watch Coach Dave's offense, like a 4 or 5 yard gain is just not good enough of him, right?
Yeah,
wants the big play. He wants the points on the board. So obviously that's kind of human nature, right? You're playing a Maryland team who's struggling. I believe going into that game, Maryland haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Yeah, how you get up for that game?
How you get up for that? You're on the road. It's cold. And, you know, it's a lot of factors going into it. And, you know, you kind of go out there expecting, especially I feel like we mentioned the first touchdown. That kind of – I feel like that kind of hurt you a little bit, right? Because now
you expect
the
success.
Right. You got the success. Like, okay, this is going to be another game where we score 50, 60 points. There's no way they're going to be able to keep up with us, and we just go on and dominate this game. But it didn't happen that way. Yeah. Maryland was fired up. Those guys was locked in. You could hear from the coach from his interviews how, hey, we have nothing to lose here. And a team that essentially had a pretty good record until the last couple of weeks. They had a couple a blowout loss against Penn State. Another week they didn't perform well. Nothing to lose here. I mean, that's right? Like, what's the best way? You're having a tough season not going away.
This is their championship game.
This is a great chance.
This is Maryland championship game.
Right. It's to beat Ohio State on your field. So, I mean, a lot of that was there, and you kind of see them playing well. When really watching the game, I thought Maryland played really well.
Did play well.
Like, but I don't even know where they was really.
But my thing was, so I was hoping that Maryland played well. I wanted Maryland to be good.
Yeah.
My issue with the way Ohio State came out, it's not because, you know, they were going against a team that was playing with their, you know, their hair on fire, and they were playing hard. It was delay of game, false start, fumble on the exchange. Like, that's the stuff, like, I don't care how good Maryland is playing. That stuff you can control, right? And I can understand not being fired up for a game. I think, so there's a couple things that I feel like I've noticed from this team. I feel like they're not the same team on the road that they are at home, which, as we look forward towards Michigan a little bit, that's not going to be a factor because it's a home game.
Yeah.
The other thing, I do feel like there was some challenge of them getting up for this game.
Yeah.
It's a weird time for a game against a team that's really not that good. Usually in November, it'd be like all like solid teams. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, usually it's like you got Michigan State. You got in Michigan State typically good. It's usually like, I forget what Chess used to say in November.
It's like if you win all your November games, you got a chance for everything ahead of you. Yeah. All your goals are still in front of you. You got a chance to be a big
champion. November.
You got a chance to be, back then, you know, we used to play to make it to the Rose Bowl. Because if you're a Big Ten champion, you're an automatic bid to the Rose Bowl. And you used to play for that. So,
right. And Maryland still doesn't feel like a Big Ten team to me. I don't know what it is, but every time I see them, I'm like, man, this just don't feel like – it still feel like Big Ten versus ACC. It just doesn't feel like a Big Ten game to me. You know, like, even – like, there's even games, like, we used to play against – it doesn't matter. If Wisconsin's not good that year, right, it definitely doesn't matter. It's still Wisconsin.
Right.
You could go put up the history, the games in the past.
Right.
There's ways to, like, get you to get up for a Wisconsin game, a conference rival, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you do versus
Maryland? I mean,
they're a solid team.
They're a solid team. I mean, especially, you know, with their quarterback. I'm a butcher his name, but Tua.
I call him Baby Tua.
Yeah, Baby Tua. That's what I
Baby Tua.
You know, he's a very capable quarterback. Obviously, he's breaking a lot of Maryland records. You know, throwing for, I think he's close to 4,000 yards, something like that. But he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You got a coordinator, the head coach, very capable coordinator, coached some big games at Alabama as an offensive coordinator. Now he's in the Big Ten coaching. So, you know, we got another capable party there.
Pretty solid team.
Yeah, solid team. But and like, coming into it, unfortunately, they was kind of like, you know, not doing their best, but they put their best game out there. I mean, I think it really showed, especially when you start looking at some of the throws that they was able to execute. I mean,
it was on.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was nothing you could do as a DB. Like, he put the ball in the perfect
There was something you could do as a DB.
He made that throw.
Yeah.
For success.
Like, yeah, they played well. They did well all around. I think our DBs need to make the play. As a DB, it's not good enough just to be in position. Right? Sometimes you get a pass. You're like, dang, great pass, great catch, nothing you can do.
Yeah.
But that only works like once, maybe twice. But after a while, I'm like, you got to get some of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody could go either way. Sometimes it got to go your way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't think our DBs, outside of Cam Brown, I think Cam Brown, he fights. And even like the ones he gives up, it's like, dang, he fought for that one. He gave it up, but like, dang, it's like he was fighting for it, right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like you don't get that same level of fight out of all of them. I think so. The DBs, I don't think it's going to be fixed between this week and next week. Mm-hmm. But I think the DBs are a little bit of a, I mean, passing defense is good, yeah, in general. But I think the DBs, if you need a play to be made, the corners on the outside, a little bit of a concern. And yeah, then coming out of this game, our run game in the first half, second half picked up in the second half.
Yeah.
I think our run game still concerns me as I look forward as well.
I got you. I mean, and I think that's our valid points. I would like to give a shout out since we're talking about a recap of Lathan Rassam's game, or yeah, really one drive coming out.
Yeah.
Third quarter, he first makes a tackle in the open field, a lot of space around the running back. He makes that tackle. It was a 6-yard game. Most people probably didn't pay attention, but if he misses that tackle, that running back runs for a long way.
Yeah.
Great start for Maryland in half. He makes that tackle for a 6-yard stop. Comes back. They try screen. He gets a tackle for loss. He flies in the backfield, blows up a screen. I think he has to beat the offensive lineman. Gets under offensive lineman tackle, makes a tackle in the backfield. Then to top it off, fourth down, he rushes off the eggs, blocks the punt, and then obviously Ohio State is able to get the ball, score a touchdown with Dalen Hayden. And we get the lead. That's our first. That's our lead starting in the second half. So shout out to him. But like you were saying, running the ball, I'm an offensive lineman, right? So that's like my thing. And when we was in back when I played at Ohio State, that was our bread and butter, was running the ball, and then we took what we could on the pass, more or less. And I think, like you say, in the first half, it was. I feel like the offensive line really wasn't dominating as they should versus the Maryland team. When I look at our offensive line, we got capable guys at all five positions. And just to me, I just felt like we wouldn't get much of a push.
And if they can't do it against Maryland,
man, they can do it, man. I feel like a lot of it is a mindset thing. I feel like when I watch this Ohio State offense, some of the run stuff just has to be bread and butter. Like we call this play against any front, and obviously they might have too many people in the box, but we should be able to execute it enough to make it a successful play.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times that is lacking from our offense. Going back to the Northwestern game, when Northwestern played us close for four quarters, we really didn't just dominate in the trenches as an offensive line, and I feel like we should. Second half against Maryland, you start to kind of see it. I don't know if the coach challenged them at halftime. Going in, he did an interview talking about their performance, so maybe he did. But in the second half, you start to see that. You start to see Maryland guys getting kind of pushed around.
So they play with more fire. We mentioned fire. I think they play with more fire in that second half, just in general. Not just the offensive line, but just the team in general. You mentioned Lathan Rassam. I said the DBs, I should specify. I meant the cornerbacks. The cornerbacks need to improve. But Rassam. I'm obviously biased. I don't watch every college football game. But Rassam has to be a finalist for the Thorpe Award. Yeah. Like, he just makes plays, whether it's in the passing game, whether it's making tackles. He got two punt blocks this year.
Yeah.
Two of them choice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been trying to get a punt block. All this time I play football, I don't think I got one punt block, bro. I mean, they created, like, blocks for me to get – you know, free, come free. I still didn't get the block. But anyway, that's me. I ain't Rassam. You know,
but like you said, he fixed a lot of wrongs. A lot of times, if we're wrong up front or we just, you know, happens, sometimes you get blocked. It's the safety's job to kind of go in there, fly in there, and make that tackle and get the guy down. Sometimes it's not pretty. It's not spectacular. It's not a big hit. But you got to get the guy down. And Rassam, I will say, have been doing a really great job at that. Do got to talk about Hayden. A true freshman coming in second half, cold. I don't know if he even played in the first half. Can't recall, but he didn't get a rush in the first half. Coming in the second half, rushes for close to 150 yards, 3 touchdowns. What do you think of his performance?
So there's two big things for Dalen Hayden. One is he wears a number 5. So if anybody doesn't know, I wore the number 5. I can run out a list of number 5, Garrett Wilson. You know, my guy Michael Wiley from back in the day who played running back. There's a bunch of number 5s out there. Braxton had number 5 on his back at one point. So, you know, His floor is being special. You know what I'm saying? Because he got the number five. The second thing is, man, he just hits the holes. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, in the first half, you know, the offensive line wasn't creating the same type of push as that they were creating in the second half. Mm-hmm. But one thing I saw in the first half is, as good as Henderson is, I know he's been dealing with some type of lingering issue, is he just don't – he doesn't hit the – like, if you watch him run in the middle versus how he runs when he got space – when he has space – he just runs with a different type of, like, yeah, he runs different, but when he's running it up there, he just doesn't hit it. It's almost, I don't want to say, I don't know, he just doesn't hit it the same way, bro. And, like, there was one specific play in the first half where the line got, everybody got a hat on the guy, right? And the play was designed to go in the middle. And if he had just ran up without any finding a hole, he would have got at least 2 yards. Instead of running into it, he bounces outside. And he gets and it ends up being a TFL. And I'm like, man, he just needs to run in there. You know what I'm saying? Mayan, I think, does a good job of running behind blockers, finding the seam. And Hayden, he just goes and like it's. And I feel like it's got to be some type of momentum or feeling. I never play offensive line. This is the question to you.
Yeah.
But when you have a run play, it's designed to do something. Mm-hmm. And it does it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the running back gets it. Boom, we get 6 yards. Boom, you line up again. You do it again. You get, it has to be a feeling of momentum of, like, you know what I'm saying? Because as a corner, like, they call a play, and it's designed to do something, and I go do it, and I make the play how it's designed to do. Right. I feel good. My next play, I'm more hyped up. Yeah. I'm more in the zone.
And there's an awful lot. Yeah, that's it to the T. I mean, especially when it comes to running the ball. A lot of times when you're passing balls, you get a little, you pass up a little bit, right? You're not really attacking. You're kind of seeing what's coming at you, and you're kind of, you know, making sure your quarterback is playing from there. But when it comes to running the ball, that's really what it's about. When at certain plays, you could have a play where you know, like, okay, if I got a double team this guy to that linebacker, and I know if we move this guy, this D lineman, and we get in front of that linebacker, this is going to be a successful play. Like, there's almost no doubt in your mind. Like, if we do these things successfully, it should be a good play. If we get stuck here, we don't get any push, we don't get any movement, we get a stalemate, chances are it's not going to be a successful play. Right. And it's really just that simple. So a lot of times, like you say, to the T, we call this play. We know, like, man, on a double team, we're tearing this guy up. Like, he can't hang in here against us in a double team. Or we know we got this man-to-man block we're pulling, and once our lineman pulling here and he hits his linebacker, there's no way he's losing. We know we're going to win.
And now, same play, this running back, instead of going up into it, bounces it outside.
Man, the guy you're blocking,
not because you're blocking him outside, now can easily, like,
slip off.
Detach, and now – I never play offensive lineman, but if I see my guy about to make the tackle, yeah, I'm thinking I should grab this dude, but you don't grab him. Now he makes a tackle. Yeah. Like, it just ain't the same type
of celebrating, right?
It's just, it can't be the same type of feeling that it would be.
Sometimes it gets to that, right? And sometimes it works out. Sometimes the guy bounces, usually you call it right, we call a play at the middle. The running back bounces it outside. If it's a successful play,
but this time,
let it go.
It wasn't working out against Maryland.
Right. You started to kind of say, like, hey, like, somebody tell the running back he needs to hit. We get movement in here. He needs to hit it because once he go outside, I can't help him no more. And it really comes down to it. If he go outside, you can't help him anymore. You're pushing the guy outside. You're outside. So once he goes outside, is that chance grabbing him, getting the holding call, bad on me, or my man make the tackle, and he's celebrating and dancing because he made a tackle for loss, and also bad on me. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a factor to it. But, you know, you just try to – it happens. And so you just try to, you know, do your
part. But I say that because there was two plays. So that one play, he bounced out. Mm-hmm. The other play, one of the linemen got, like, blown up, right? The guy got, like, penetration, like, real early. But that guy didn't make the tackle. Like, it was like he was in the backfield. He probably disrupted the run a little bit.
Right.
But Trevion was able to still run up in there. He got hit. He didn't get a bunch of yards.
Right.
But he got, like, he was upset after the play. Like, he was, like, visibly upset. Like, and then you could tell he's saying, like, you can't see it, but you could tell he's like, y'all got a block. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that guy got blown up, but that guy didn't, I mean, that didn't end the play. Like, you know, sometimes on a run play, you try to get inside, a guy, you know, gets upfield, but you get enough of him that he's not actually going to make the play. There's right. still room to kind of run up in it. Yeah. So you can see that there was some, I don't know tension. If there was, yeah, some tension between yeah. The backs and the linemen. However, second half, you know,
the young guy in, Daylon Hayden in.
He's hitting the holes. Right. He's moving the ball. And the offense, as we know, works better when you can run the ball.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's kind of kudos to Hayden, right? He comes in cold off the sideline. Obviously, going into this week, they probably knew that Williams was going to be down. And through injuries throughout the season, he's like, you know, the next guy up when it comes to scholarship players at the running back position. And he was ready. Like, I mean, you could tell he was ready physically. He protected the ball. No fumbles. He always handed it back to the official. If he scored a touchdown, he celebrated with his team. Kudos to him, man, just kind of being focused, locked in, and being able to come out and perform. Essentially, it was really a hostile situation. I mean, this is a close game that you had to play four quarters, and he went out there like
– made it happen.
Right, right. Like he'd been doing it for the whole year or for years, for that matter. He was able to go out there and get it done.
And I don't want to down Trevion because he is a special
– Yeah, special player.
Talent. Yeah. And speaking of, you know, and he, you know, he's dealing with some lingering injuries. But looking forward to the next game.
Yeah.
And talking about injuries.
Yeah, talking about injuries, yeah.
There's a good amount of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a good amount. Like, we after the game, we talk about Lathan Ransom. It states that he might have fractured a thumb first play of the game. So he played the entire game yesterday with a fractured thumb.
And blocked the punt with the
fractured thumb. We know the situation with our running backs. Williams missing this game. Henderson not finishing the second half. After the game, we had our defensive lineman, Zach Harrison, states that Tommy Eckenberg, our leading tackler, said he had fractured hands. He said both of them, plural. So obviously that's some concern. Also in the game, we saw the part of time that CJ was limping around.
Yeah, CJ was limping around as well. He's running the ball, running a little bit more than usual.
Than usual, right. So we seen him limping as well. And obviously, all year, Jackson Smith for Jigba. Haven't really seen him this entire year.
Is he done? You think he's done?
I don't know what is. I would assume so. The way Coach Day kind of speaks about it, you know, obviously he has a bright future in front of him. Whatever's going on, it's not really getting better, right?
He's
not out there. So maybe if we're, you know, if we.
Maybe in a playoff?
Yeah, maybe in the playoffs, he'd stick around and kind of go out there and perform. But essentially, he kind of. Really missed the year for the
and then part, so. And then Michigan Blake Corum went down with a knee injury leg injury.
Yeah, he looked like he rushed for 100 yards in the first half. Second half, he only had one rush for 5 yards. I was watching it. He kind of took an awkward fall, and you seen him limping afterward. And so they held him. So he was able to come back after that awkward fall. But obviously, he didn't finish that game. Didn't play most parts of the second half. So I mean, but at this part of the year. You expect injuries. It's just, you know, I guess when it comes to college football, you don't really get a report.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well,
and then if someone is injured, you don't really know what it is. But
with Ohio State, you don't get a report. So it seems like, you know, these games, you find out whether or not who's injured during the game. It's like, oh, Cam Brown's not playing. We just see another corner out there. So maybe he's hurt. And then we see him 3 weeks later. Oh, Cam Brown's in there. He made a. So. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll probably find out who's healthy and who's not during the Michigan game next week.
Unfortunately, that sucks for us, but, you know, I guess.
But, so, benefit without Blake Corum, though, Michigan is not the same football team.
No, they're not. obviously, he's a really good player. Heisman hopeful as well. I think at this time, if he was selected finalist, he definitely would be there. Our quarterback definitely would be there as well. They're not the same. Watching their backups play, obviously it's Michigan, so you know they got to have some talent there somewhere. But
yeah, they got the talent.
Watching them against Illinois, those guys was not very. They wasn't Blake. They didn't appear to be very capable when it came to his.
They are not also Heisman, candidates right at the running back position.
What they do, the shiftiness, running the hole, hitting the holes, the size of them really. That's a a point of two that doesn't appear to be, you know, big guys or anything of that nature. So they're a different team. But, I mean, you know, if any way possible, if he could play against Ohio State, you know he's going to be there. I guess, you know, this is Michigan week. We struggled through the win.
Yeah.
We got the win against Maryland. Now it's officially Michigan week. So let's get into that. What's your thoughts there?
So Michigan had a similar, you know, challenging type of game against Illinois. So you got two teams, two heavyweights.
Right.
Expecting to come up against each other real soon. And both of them struggled against inferior opponents. So you can see there's probably some looking ahead. Really, I mean, the biggest thing is that, you know, Michigan just beat Ohio State last year.
Yep.
And the way they beat Ohio State is literally the way you should play to try to beat this type of team, right? Yeah. And they're the same team, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, they have the confidence going into last year. So, realistically, you know, some of the challenges that Ohio State has with running the ball is some of the strengths of Michigan, you know, having the D-line there. And, you know, their approach is going to be physical in the trenches, and that's how they're built. And, I mean, if they have Corum in the backfield, I think if I'm a Michigan person, like a Michigan fan, first of all, I would have dealt with so many losses for so many years. However, I would be feeling confident going into this week.
But let's get into it. What does Ohio State needs to do to beat Michigan?
So, first things first, they got to stop the run.
Yeah.
Michigan clearly is built around running the football, being physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ohio State in general, I mean, our defense has done a good job. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they've done a good job stopping the run. Mm-hmm. However, there's been some games, Northwestern, where the teams have forced all 11 guys. I always say it takes 11 guys to stop the run.
Right.
And they force DBs, they force corners to have to come in and make the play.
Yep.
And they've had some success. The other thing is they got to get off to a faster start.
Yeah.
We always do a good job. Buckeyes always do a good job of coming out after halftime with good adjustments. We saw it in Maryland, during the Maryland game. It came out with more fire, good adjustments, and we're able to kind of take control. However, against Michigan is a team that can't come back if they're being beat by, you know, a good margin because they don't have the passing game or whatever. Last year, they got off to a fast start. It put them in position to go win the game. Ohio State needs to do the same thing. And then the last thing is, you know what the last thing is.
We got to run the ball.
Run the ball.
We have to run the ball. So whenever, I mean, historically, I mean, when we talking about when we play under Coach Tressel, when previous coaches came in to speak about it, Coach Earl Bruce, you got to win up front. It's all about the trenches. In that game, 1 yard equals 2 yards, 2 yards equals 4. I think you know what I'm getting at. Everything means more in that game. So last year and this year, Michigan's off the line. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
They're good. They're a good bunch. They're physical. They come off the ball. They just sometimes an off the line play. You just got to kind of do what makes sense, and they make a lot of sense. They come off the ball well. They're able obviously have a capable running back when Corum's back there, and also with their quarterback, who I don't think is really special, but he kind of got to a point where he's not losing games for Michigan and JJ McCarthy. So we have to first off stop the run. Got to win first and second downs, so they get them to those passing down. We can't be third and short, third and two, third and three, because Michigan ran the ball for, you know, the first two downs. They're getting 4 or 5 yards a chunk every time they run the ball, or bigger chunks than that. And when it comes down to the run, have to stop it, like you say. Yeah. And then we got to run it. We got to be able to say third and run. We call our best run play. We get it. It broke my heart last week yesterday against Maryland. We had a 4th and 1. We're playing Maryland at Maryland, so we're on the road.
And we threw the ball.
And I know Coach Day had was throwing it to Marvin Harrison, who was a great player, but it just broke. It kind of breaks your heart that I can see if we'd have done it multiple times. So, like, all right, Maryland probably maybe caught up to this look. But this is the first time we was in 4th and 1.
So
I want to run the ball there.
So this is the thing I want to get it, because it's hard to convey, like, the difference between Ohio State, Michigan, and Ohio State versus anybody else. Yeah. I don't even understand why it's that much different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for me to understand. But when you get to their game, it's a physical game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a physical game. And in the Rich Rodriguez years of Michigan, when we played against them,
yeah,
I feel like we always had an advantage. It didn't matter how good Michigan was in those years. Mm-hmm. They were just not a physical team.
Yeah. Right.
So when so they could play as good as they wanted to. When they got to the game, it just wasn't, they weren't prepared.
Right.
And we need to make sure, and that's the thing about being able to run the ball and stopping the run. That's physical play. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And Michigan understands that. So there's this thing where you have so much more talent than the other team that they just can't compete.
Yeah.
Right. And right now, Ohio State is more talented than Michigan, but it's not that big of a gap to where they just can't compete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some of that talent level is made up with just being more physical
yeah.
in a high intensity game where everybody is. So Michigan is built for physical play. Like right. that's their DNA. That's how they play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be this need to match that level of being physical to allow your talent to even be showcased yeah. in this game. For real.
Yeah, and so that's definitely, I would say, the challenge for Ohio State. They got to be able to do it. It's obviously last year didn't go our way. That's not the norm here. So this is a year for us to get that going back in the right direction, for us to play Michigan at home, 2-3. Obviously, the winner of this game, highly projected to go ahead and make the playoffs and have a chance at winning a national championship. The game is on Saturday. We see how it goes. But before we got here, we got to talk about a special yeah. game before us. So we was both true freshmen for the 2006 Michigan versus Ohio State game. Another huge game. This game, we're anticipating that Ohio State 2, Michigan 3. And that game in 2006, Ohio State was 1, Michigan was 2. They call it, they gave it a name for how great it was, the game of the century.
Game of the century.
Game of the century. We won that game 42-39, but me and you are true freshmen at that time.
We red shirt.
Yeah,
so
red shirt. So we know where we're going to this
we
game.
We didn't play.
Right. But let's just talk about, you know, that night, you know, and that feel going into that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, Troy Smith leading us and going on to win the Heisman.
So it was crazy. It was like the introduction. And, you know, we never got another game like that. It was never another 1-2.
Right.
However, that felt like the introduction to the rivalry for me. Like, it was the introduction to the rivalry. It kind of set the stage for the way I always viewed Michigan. You know, even though the next time we played them, you know, it was still two, pretty good teams.
Right.
But the year after that, it wasn't as much. But that set the stage. It was 1-2. It was a great running back in Mike Hart
right.
Versus, you know, Troy Smith, Heisman Trophy winner, Ted Ginn. It was a lot of talent on the field. But when it got to the game, it was just like, it was like, damn, we hate y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't play, but we was ready to fight.
Right.
I don't even know why. It's like, hey, I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was special, man.
It was definitely a special one. I remember going to it before, you know, usually that the game, Ohio State versus Michigan, is played at 12 noon. Going into it 1-2, I remember they said, no, we're going to make this a night game. And, you know, and then that's when they kind of brought the lights in and you had the lights down. And it's funny, like, when I got done playing, and, you know, played, like I say, you know, 3-year starter, you know, won a lot of games playing. You know, yeah. a lot of times people ask, you know, what game do you remember the most? And I say it's the 06
game I didn't play.
Because, you know, obviously, like you say, you're young and you're standing on the sideline, so you know, you're not going into the game. I'm redshirting. And just the atmosphere, just
crazy.
Just everything about it. I remember it was November. Obviously, it's November. It was like warm that day. Like, it was like, it stopped being cold. It was like a perfect temperature weather.
Yeah, like the football guy said, look, we're gonna give them a warm day to let them figure this thing out on the field, and then we'll bring the cold back.
Right, and it was just a battle, right? I mean, it's just a back and forth battle. Obviously, at the end of it, we make the plays that's needed for us to win the game. And
huge
the,
play.
And the fans rush the stands. And
know, they took the turf. Do you remember? So this is the last time we had grass. We had a grass field. The fans rushed the field, and they took the grass.
Took the grass,
I remember going to hot, later on that night, You know, I was underage, so I was not under the influence. however, on High Street, partying that night, I saw people with grass, like, like walking around with like squares of grass. Yeah. I'm like, dang, this is crazy stuff. But I wonder how many people still got that grass from that game.
Man, I was listening to
something. And is that grass valuable?
Right, and the guy said, he's like, Ohio State need to bring back grass, and he mentioned, like, yeah, I still got a patch from the last time Ohio State had grass. So, yeah, I don't know how you keep grass alive that long. I don't know, but, you know, I guess it's a way, and it is definitely possible. But that's we're going to wrap up here. Yeah. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Chimney Checkwine and Brian Browning. First show, so we first hope show. You guys enjoy it, that you guys listen to it, and if you got any suggestions, hey, we want to be interactive, so, you know, feel free to write us something, write us on the social medias. Chim, you want to give out your
yeah, so media? I'm on Twitter, Chim Check, check spell C-H-E-K, so C-H-I-M-C-H-E-K, Chim Check 35 on Instagram, Chim Check on Twitter. And, you know, Facebook works differently. You can just search my name.
Yeah. I'm not the hugest social media guy, but I do got a Twitter. I do got an Instagram and also a Facebook. So Twitter, you can find me at BR_Browning. My Instagram is BR_Browning70. So, yeah, but, you know, my picture is there. It's usually me and family or something like that. But more than welcome if you want to jump in the DMs and ask questions or things of that nature, feel free to do so. We'll love to interact with you guys while we're speaking on our Buckeyes that we love so much.
Yep. Believe in Buckeye Podcast.
First Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Hey.